to this week's edition of Damn Art Majors. I am Adam Buckfusco. Joining with me today is Aaron Early.
Hey!
And with me is James Dudders Dudley.
That's a terrible accent. Hello.
And we have a special guest host today, Mark, singer-songwriter Kloose.
Hello, hello.
That really is a terrible accent.
That is like my 1940s news
guy. I can't tell if you're a wrestling announcer from the late 70s or if you're from the 1940s.
A wrestling announcer is more
news like... flash. This just in.
Yeah, there it is. That's it's the news bulletin.
Yeah. Definitely more of a news bulletin than a wrestling. Because a wrestling announcer was like, and this evening, fighting from the red corner, weighing 243 pounds.
Unless you're one of the guys that just screams the entire time, oh my god, he killed him! He's out!
That's just UFC.
He slammed his body into infinity!
No, now it's WWE. That's like WWE, or WW, whatever they're called now.
All theatrical and all.
The World Wildlife Foundation. Yeah.
So we're going to start this episode the way we start every episode with, what you drinking? Aaron, what you got?
Yingling.
Oh, me too. That was easy. Mark, what do you got?
PBR.
And Dudders, what do you got?
I have Newcastle Bombshell. It is their pale blonde ale for the summer thing, whatever.
I heard that what you're drinking is some people's favorite parts of our show.
Really?
I wonder how many people actually turn it off after that. So already at a minute and change, they've already turned us off.
Well, in that case, we'll just intersperse it throughout the episode.
From this point on,
we're gonna throw what you're drinking at the very end of the episode.
Ooh.
So, what did you drink to get through this episode?
What were you drinking?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. This is actually going to be kind of sort of a continuation of last week's episode. Sorry. Especially when we get to the round table discussion, but
on square that, tables,
they're kind of square, they have rounded corners. But before that, we got a couple plugs. As you guys know, at the end of June, we will be at Heroes Con in Charlotte at the Charlotte Convention Center downtown, recording two podcasts, one Damn Art Majors and one No Big Two comic review, which is now live on iTunes, as well as it has its own Podomatic. If you type in Damn Art Majors into the iTunes stores, you will get both podcasts to choose from. We're starting a fucking network.
Choose the damn one.
I mean,
damn it.
No Big Two is pretty cool.
It's all right.
I mean, it's a niche market.
I don't know how I feel about that guy's voice. I don't know.
My voice?
I'm still waiting to be.
Wait, that's you?
That's me.
Oh shit!
I mean, me and a couple other guest hosts. Granted, neither of you two have been on No Big Two comic review.
Not yet. I would like to be.
I'm the last person you want on a comic book review. I read two comics.
That's more than Aaron.
Felix the Cat.
Oh shit! I read three.
And fucking Garfield. And how he feels about Mondays.
I read the Sunday comics.
Do you?
Yeah, we get the Sunday newspapers.
So is Baby Blue still going on? I like Baby Blues. Yeah.
That's still on.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I think I'm getting in touch with my 80-year-old self, and I really enjoy Pickles. It's basically old people doing old people things.
Oh, I thought you meant, is that a comic?
No, like the comic is Pickles.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah. I just want Pickles.
I enjoy old people.
Check us out at Heroes Con.
What are the dates for Heroes Con?
Heroes Con is going to be the 20th through the 22nd of June.
Okay, so that's a Friday through Sunday.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and we also probably by now have had stickers printed up and have them maybe ready to send out and whatnot. If you are interested in a sticker, Dudders, tell them what they need to do.
They need to email us at damnartmajors@gmail.com. The mailing address, and we will mail them a sticker, along with absolutely nothing else, just a sticker.
Or message us on Facebook or Twitter.
And you know...
Or Podomatic.
It really wouldn't be so bad if they went on to damnartmajors.podomatic.com and threw a couple shillings our way via the donate button. Stickers ain't free, folks. Stickers ain't free. I mean, $1, $2. Whatever you want to donate, we'll throw you some stickers.
See, the thing is, Adam, if they send us a request for their address, then I know where they live and I can personally collect.
Oh. Are you going to be a loan shark? Damn Art Major sticker loan shark?
Yeah.
That was the scariest smile I've ever seen on your face.
If you live in Durham, Raleigh, then I will happily come by and personally deliver a sticker for the mere fee of not breaking your kneecaps.
All right, moving on. So we got Mark here. He's going to chime in, and this is not your first time on a mic, obviously, but it's your first pod. But you've done some radio shows, yeah?
I have. I got to go to WSOE at Elon, and got to do an interview there, and it was really, really fun. I got to hang out there for an hour and a half, got to meet the people that worked there, and so now I'm glad you guys have me on for this.
Is that the Elon College Station?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah, I've listened to them on iTunes before.
They're good. They're good people there, and that school is blowing up. It is huge now, which I didn't expect it to be.
Elon's private, isn't it?
Yes.
I want to say, yeah.
Oh, hell if I know, man. I think I knew one person that went there.
I don't know anything about Elon's privates.
We can get to know.
That's freaking terrible. That is terrible.
So we're going to start a new segment, or at least we have a new segment for the week. We're going to call it Art Tech.
I didn't even know about this. That's how new it is.
I sent you the email.
No, you did not.
I sent you an email.
Dude, my email only had episode 13 on it.
No, you had to keep scrolling. It had 14.
Richard, I'm tired of your insubordination. I knew about this.
Yeah, no, two episodes. We were doing two episodes.
Well, I knew we were doing two episodes, but I didn't see that I had to scroll. All
right, so we got Art Tech today. There's a new product from a company called Lix, L-I-X. You guys are familiar with 3D printers, right?
Yes.
God, I want one.
They've really come down in price. Like,
they have.
You could get a pretty...
$1,300,
you know,
I think?
No, you could get a basic one for about $500.
Even less than that, actually. There's...
Well, I mean, I know that it's all open source. You could... Actually, if you knew someone with a 3D printer, you could print the components for a 3D printer.
Yeah, all of the patents that were being strangle-held by a certain company, it starts with an S, I can't remember, some shit in Michigan, they all went up. Like, they're no longer valid. So that has opened the floor for people to just, you know, start making their own machines, their own patents, you know.
Right.
Especially China.
Well, so Lix here has a new product that is very similar to a 3D printer. The difference is it's portable. It's pen size, because it is a pen.
It's a large pen.
And...
I see where you're going.
You just draw with it. So, we pulled it up. We got a link here for the listeners to check out.
And me.
Lix 3D Pen. Just doodle in the air is their tagline.
No, I thought it was little things can do bigger ideas.
I don't know, man. It says it on the website.
Which I feel like is a bad translation of whatever their actual...
So here's a 3D printer that spits out...
So basically, you are the X, Y, and Z axis.
Holy shit.
It's a filament.
That's really cool.
It's a filament that comes out of the nib and just kind of, it seems like it's melting a substance, and then as fast as it melts, it's rehardening when it hits the surface.
I'm curious if it's thermal or if it actually has like a UV curing system built into it.
Whoa.
Like, that's impressive.
Yeah, there's a drawing on the, or not a drawing, I guess it's a drawing of some sort, of a girl leaning back on her legs, and it's like a planar analysis style figurative piece, but it's in the 3D realm. It's pretty cool.
But do you have to draw on something?
No.
I think you have to start at the base
and work
so
your
the
way
tabletop.
Up.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because if you kind of start it up in the air, I'm pretty sure it would just
drop.
Yeah, it just starts shitting all over everything. I mean, it would just be like this. I mean, it'd be like kind of welding in the air. Yeah. When you don't start on a surface and welding, it just shoots out wire that doesn't arc.
Well, even regular 3D printers, they start on like a special silpat.
Yeah, I mean, you start at the bottom, and because you want to build up a foundation and work your way up.
It says, an interesting fact about this lightweight engineering pen is that these structures can be formed into any imaginable shape, which I guess it can.
Could you draw on your own hand, though? That is the question. Is it hot enough?
I'm wondering, like...
Because, you know, the first thing people are going to do is, like, try to draw on themselves.
Okay, here we go. Lix has a hot end nozzle that is powered, supplied from a USB 3.0 port. The plastic filament is introduced in the upper extremity of the Lix pen.
Dan, you can't do face molds.
No, but it's definitely bringing your doodles to life. And all of a sudden the audio changed in my voice because now I'm directing my voice at the mic. Imagine that. Yeah, so...
So when I looked at their website, they have a testimonial video at the very top, which showcases the pin, and it has three people that are discussing what the pin has to offer, and it's two people that are possibly Eastern Europeans and potentially one Spanish guy. While they're discussing the ins and outs of this pin and the greatness of it, they are all, and I mean, they're, every fucking one of them is looking uncomfortably to the, like, slightly to the left or the right, and they're lit in a very strange way, and I could not listen to what they were saying because I was too busy watching their eyes scroll from left to right as they were reading fucking cue cards. It was so fucking obvious that I was immediately turned off on this thing.
Like, my thing is, how is this useful?
Well, and that's why I wanted to present this, because I wanted to see, as you two are fabricators and do typically work in, you know, 2D as well as 3D, if you could implicate this technology into a 3D piece. There's examples of them using the bowl to create, or I'm sorry, using the pen to create bowl shapes. But what more could you do with this product?
Well, my problem with this product is there's no sense of scale. When you do a 3D print, if you're making a scale model, you're using a software that allows you to build things to scale and then print them up at scale. So that way, if you're making a maquette, you have a exact scale maquette, which is very useful if you're fabricating a larger thing or if you're going to do multiples of a tiny mold piece or something like that, you get an exact printout. But with this, it's limited just the same way your ability to draw something to scale is limited. And so I feel like without having something to guide my hand to scale, I couldn't make scale models of things. They'd be very loose, rough, gestural drawings, I guess, so I could kind of get an idea of something in 3D really quick.
Right.
I mean, does it actually move as quickly as the hand is?
No. It says very plainly on the Kickstarter page that all the videos are time-lapsed. Yeah, they're sped up.
See, that's the thing. If I'm sitting there spending, if I'm going to be spending 5 minutes drawing something just to try and get a little stick figure, three-dimensional thing standing up, then that's just a waste of my time. I'd rather
build it. 5 minutes wouldn't really get you anywhere. Like, it showed in the video the actual time that it takes to draw something. And to me, it looked like it was about 1 or 2 centimeters per second, which is nothing. I mean, that is like drawing as slowly as possible.
Well, in that case, right. this is a technology that's going to go the way of whatever that thing is that tried to compete with the iPod. Like
say this is the first attempt. It's the
Zune. This is going to go the way of the Zune.
It's clearly still getting Kickstarter funding and whatnot. It's a prototype.
Talk about just how much. Like, what they were asking for on Kickstarter was £30,000.
Yeah, right. 800. All right. I'm trying. Like, I really am. I'm doing my best to try and understand how this is a useful technology. And at first I thought, oh, well, you could maybe use it to draw out an outline for something. But we have digital scanners for that. Like, if you need an outline, like, in the field that you work in, doing orthotics and orthopedics and stuff like that, you have a digital scanner to scan someone's arm and limb so you can get a good replica of that and then 3D print that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no need for me to be able to draw something three-dimensionally.
It could be the artistic ability, though, because when you look at paintings back in the day, you guys were talking about Mona Lisa a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, with that, like, you could literally make a 3D 3D replicated idea of Mona Lisa, almost bringing it to a new medium. I know you can do that with 3D printers,
right?
But it'd be by the hand.
Yeah, but you would have to model it digitally first.
But then you can add your own subtleties, and it would really allow for that artistic ability to shine through.
That could be the only possible use for this, is adding to a already existing 3D printed something. Like, if you use the same substance melts in the pen that is melted for the 3D model, then you could then add on to a 3D model.
That's
use it
true.
As a separate applicator after the fact. So you pulled it out of the printer, and now you're like, ah, shit, you know what?
You want to do some detail work.
I print it. Let's say you're doing a chessboard, and just, you know, you 3D print all your chess pieces, but then afterwards you're like, shit, my damn knight looks, the horse looks goofy. So you start adding, like, a little bit more to the mane or something. Then I could see, so basically it would be like a separate tool that would accompany a 3D printer.
I think this item is actually interesting. I think there's more applications. And I think it's a first-gen kind of thing, and as we know, every generation of something, it's going to be better, it's going to be faster, and it's going to work more efficiently. I think this item can be utilized in an artistic way, and really as a creative way, and a new outlet for people to explore. I think it can be, it's like any tool, it can be utilized if you're utilizing it to the full advantage. Yes, you can't necessarily make a 3D model of a city, you know, painstakingly drawing it out on grid paper, but I guess you could. But you could do something a little more freeform. You could, you know, have some fun for it. Yeah,
I mean,
that would be some sweet graffiti.
I can't, but see, my only problem is that, like, for right now, if they really want this thing to be a marketable device to artists, and artists will be the first people that really utilize it to its fullest, because that's one thing artists are great at, taking something beyond its intended intended purpose, and just absolutely twisting and manipulating its use.
Sure.
And that's what's going to happen with this, but in order for that to happen, it needs to, you need to be able to work with it quickly.
Yeah.
That's one of the nice things about 3D printing that's making it so popular is how quickly you can get these things produced. But with this pen, if you're sitting there, my arm's going to cramp up before I even finish drawing a line.
Yeah. And at the same, in the same vein, I'm assuming this is printing with a spool of ABS or PVC plastic, which you're limited by the cooling time. Like, as you travel with the pen, you have to wait for it to cool.
Sure.
So it slows you down. It looks like mostly you can only work on a vertical axis, and every time that you stop, you're creating like a welding point, and then you can build off of that. But from all the videos, like I watched some stuff on YouTube that was separate from the Kickstarter page, it seems like it's really fragile and unwieldy because it's still in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's... It seems like it would be frustrating as hell to coordinate.
Yeah. And I mean, with this. I really see this. I really do seeing this like... You know, if you buy this 3D printer now, comes with this touch-up pen. And that's what this sense. Is. It's a touch-up pen. You've got your 3D print, you pull it out, you want to add a little something here, you want to add a little something there, do some work on it, and then make it so the 3D printer then comes with a 3D scanner as well. So then you can, after you've edited it with the pen, you put it back into your 3D printer where it has an eye that scans the whole thing and edits your vector.
Lix is offering this pen in, I believe, 3 to 4 different styles and varying in price range. When the
average was about 150.
Yeah. So, yeah, you start out around 150.
U.S. dollars.
What I'm really curious...
Do you think that's a good price point for something that isn't necessarily, you know...
Yeah, I think it's a good price point.
It's a detail tool, like Dutter
said. It's at its beginnings. I mean, it's the early... nothing else is out there.
I can totally...
150 is affordable.
You know actually where I see this thing getting used in? Jewelry. I can totally see people drawing an earring design in the air, letting it cool, whatever, and then all they have to do is draw a little circle at the top, and you stick this on a stainless or silver, that thing they use to hook into your ear. Obviously, I don't do jewelry. Totally see people using it in the fashion industry.
If they really wanted to nail that market, they would make a tool that prints in a wax that
you cast.
That you can use in like lost wax casting and stuff.
Absolutely.
Because this...
Well, there you go. That's,
this, if you were to...
Oh, yeah. They on their Kickstarter, they have some elaborate and quite beautiful jewelry pieces.
And that, there you go. There,
it took hours to draw.
God almighty. I'm looking
at... the cool time.
Well, that's the thing. I'm looking at that, and I'm like, a 3D printer would lay that out in a third of the time.
Well, sure. The other question is just how fragile is this stuff? I mean, if it's ABS plastic, it has a very... limited stretch before it snaps, as well as PVC. Most thermoformable plastics, they have flex to them, but if I think this is what they refer to as a thermoset plastic, like once it's cooled, and it'll snap if you try to flex it at all. So I'm really curious as to how fragile this stuff is, all these drawings that they've done with it.
Shit, maybe we should donate, see if they'll send it, give us a sample as our donation, and then we can break it.
Can we donate a sticker?
them a sticker.
My other question is, can you fix it yourself?
Fix it?
Yeah, like, I think it would break.
You think so?
Yeah.
The pen itself?
Yeah, I think some component in it would go bad.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I can imagine that, yeah.
I mean, shit, if you can break a...
I'm only saying that because... 3D printers right now, they are notorious for fucking up. Yeah.
Like it's a new technology.
Yeah, they're really hard to
I mean, nothing
fix
like this has ever existed. And we've had things like...
Dude, did you not see The Fifth Element, man? They printed an entire... No, I'm joking.
But I mean, like, computers all had a starting point. Like, 3D printers, I mean, if you're comparing it to a fucking Lexmark, you know, digital printer, laser printer, it's... If you want to call that, like, its starting point, mm-hmm. 3D printers are still really in their infancy. I would love to have one, but I know it's kind of a hobby in itself. Like,
yeah, there's absolutely a hobbyist market that I think that's the driving force of 3D printers right now, is the hobbyist market. Like, very few organizations and companies and businesses are actually utilizing 3D printing on a grand scale.
Right.
Like, the only one I can really think of is what the fuck is it called? Shit, I can't remember. There's a website that specializes in selling 3D printed objects.
Through Etsy.
Well, there's 123D, which is...
Give me a second, I'll think of it. Go ahead.
Partner. I've run into a couple places that you create your own vector mm-hmm. works, and then you upload it to them, and they'll do the 3D printing for you.
I've seen
so
that.
Basically, it's people that don't have access, they don't have the money, they don't have access to a 3D printer. This company will print, and they'll do small batch prints
yeah.
of things like that. I don't remember the name of the company.
It's a company...
But I mean, I feel honestly, one of the reasons that like large scale companies are holding out on the actual moving into this technology is it hasn't been perfected yet. They're waiting for that corporate brand that's backed by a warranty, that's backed by a promise, that's backed by a technician that you can call 24/7 to come out and fix shit. Because if a company starts moving their production onto 3D printers and it goes down middle of the night, you know, when they're doing a run of 500 objects and they have to get this shit done, because if they don't, then, you know, some car's going to start falling apart. You know, it's going to be, you know, they're waiting for that that corporate backing that's inevitable when it comes to 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's an unfortunate reality.
So you'd buy stock in 3D printers?
I don't buy stock in anything.
I would definitely buy stock in 3D printers.
I would absolutely buy stock in 3D.
Oh, I think we've just seen the tip of the iceberg with this technology.
Oh, it's going to get... I mean, the thing that's really going to be impressive is when it goes large scale. Like, you're going to be able to 3D print a house. It's already been proven that you can print concrete. Like, there have been...
And titanium.
It has been proven that you can print hard materials that actually can be used in, like, building materials.
Right.
And...
Actually, I think they've been able to print most ferrous metals, except yeah. titanium is an alloy. I think.
But I've seen a house that's been 3D printed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in concept phase, they have built a printer that 3D
printed. Is it a full scale house, or are we talking Barbie size?
No, we are talking a full scale concrete house built with a 3D printer system. Basically, a giant crane comes in where it is fed concrete, and it lays concrete into a mold, and it slowly builds itself up, and then you deconstruct it, and you've got yourself a dome house.
Does it look like a gingerbread house?
It looks like a giant dickhead.
Does a witch live there?
It looks like just a giant dickhead. It's a giant dome, all right? But, because, I mean, the easiest way to get something to move is in a circle. You're just moving something around in a circle on a, you know, anyway. But, I mean, so, like, I see these becoming, it's going to be like you 3D print a car. Is just gonna happen. Like,
you can't download a car.
Although, even before cars, you can like 3D print parts if something
yeah,
breaks.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you're gonna go into a mechanic shop and you're gonna be like, my mass flow sensor's out, and the guy's like, all right, well, give us like 20 minutes. We got to print the part, and then we'll have it ready for you. There's no
that's
come a, back in 2 weeks so we can order the you know get
that's
the part
a long
in.
That's a long ways in the future.
No, it is.
To my knowledge, they don't have anything that can print something that can withstand the abuse that cars put on their components.
Oh, I mean, that, but yeah, this. I mean, we're talking like 70 years down the road, like when I'm decrepit and can barely even drive, and they're taking away my damn license from me. Then I'll be sitting there crashing at somebody, and they'll be like, oh, don't worry about it. They'll 3D print one down at the... When I was a kid, I had to wait 2.5 weeks for the damn part to come in.
I think in the vein of medicine and health and surgery and all that,
yeah.
They've been talking about... They've been able to 3D print lungs for...
Yes, they've done that with... Yeah. So the first one they did, well, it was also started with like stem cells, and they turn it into something.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're able to take that whatever tissue is and like form it into their own piece of body part.
I mean, that'd
yeah,
be
they
kind
were
of
they were
it,
able
like...
to create the structure for which your pre-existing tissues and stuff can then graft onto. And
yeah, so basically like laying down protein or enzymes that would then allow whatever cells to attach to it, and basically use that as kind of like a mold. So you print the mold, and then the cells do the job.
Yeah, well, it's like the symbiote thing from Spider-Man.
Venom?
Yes.
You saw I was getting distracted, and you're like, I gotta rope Adam back in. Hey, Adam, Spider-Man, right?
Adam's looking at the ceiling.
Well, we've all seen the articles about them doing the custom 3D.
If we were outside, you'd be staring at the sun.
Right.
Things like that. I mean, no, it's definitely... I mean, medicine is probably going to end up using it first, because... It's the cost effectiveness of it, but then also the fact that a human body doesn't go through the same rigors that an automobile goes through.
Mm-hmm. My question to the listeners is whether or not they would be interested in something like the product from Lix, and what they think they could do with it, because that would be really cool to hear some ideas that may not be featured on their Kickstarter or their website. What do you think you could use for it? We want to know. Shout it out at the Twitter, at Damn Art Majors, or the Facebook.
Like, I think this is just kind of... I think it's a little superfluous, whereas the 3D printer, to me, is just... Stick with that. Make that better, and then we'll worry about making little pens.
Little pens.
I guess it all depends. Undergarments.
Depends diapers.
Yes. We're not going to be 3D printing those, I hope.
So this is a part two episode from our last episode where we discussed when good artists make bad work. Aaron had presented this idea last week, and we kind of ran with it. I wanted to take it at a different angle this week. I wanted to see what you guys thought about when personality affects the perception of work, i.e., this guy's an asshole, I don't like his work.
That applies to more than just visual art. That applies to pretty much anything in life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, you go into a mechanic shop, the guy comes out and he goes, "Hey, you fucking dick, what the hell's wrong with your car?" And you're like, "Well, fuck this, I'm never bringing my car here ever again."
Well, and this can even go into the idea of customer service, and, you know, the idea of the buyer's experience with a product. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to have a roundtable discussion this week to talk about whether or not we view someone's art, whether it be visual, you know, music. We brought Mark in, Mark Luce in this week to help us out from an audio point of view, and just kind of have a conversation about, you know,
does it affect our perception, their personality? Yes.
And should it, though? And should it, though? And whether or not it should.
It should.
Yeah.
It definitely should. I mean, when you look at the basis of anybody starting out in any situation, no matter what you're doing, that personality is going to reflect on your work, no matter, be it music, art, mechanic, engineer. A lot of people aren't going to be wanting to work with you if you're a dick. No one wants that.
Well, that's not necessarily true, because think of someone like Kanye West, who is not viewed in the most positive of light, but people buy his... They go out in droves to buy his albums. He's a multi-million-dollar star based on having a bad personality. With a superior product.
Did the product come first and then the personality followed? I'll be honest, I don't... I am not very familiar with Kanye West.
I think the personality was already there.
Well, no, I mean, but did the public know about it?
They didn't. Well, that's just like not being a huge celebrity like he was or he is now. The whole issue with him, I have no problems with him. I think it's actually very entertaining for him to be that crazy. And so it kind of comes to the point of that publicity that you're giving, whether it be negative or positive, it can't all be bad.
Well, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's the truth. And that's why he's able to turn into this evil guy and make it...
Well, I mean, that's kind of the same line as that, Gordon Ramsay. He's apparently an incredible cook, but people don't watch his show because he makes good food. You don't get to eat the food.
Right.
You watch the show because he sits there and cusses people out all day long.
That's true. But it's backed by honesty.
But it's backed by his honesty, and it's also backed by the fact that he established himself with several restaurants long before he ever had a show, long before anyone even knew who he was. Then suddenly this guy was on this show, and people were watching it because the people in Britain were like, no, I mean, he actually is a really good cook. Yeah. He's really honest, and he comes out... Yes, he's an asshole. He's a straight-up honest to God asshole. Would never want to have to work for the guy, but he really knows what he does. But and he does it well.
But were the customers seeing this during his beginnings?
Probably right. not.
Yeah, if there's not a camera involved and you're just a dick, then you know, I mean, customers will leave your restaurant despite the food.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. If you're not that's a what I'm saying. I bet you he was the nicest guy when he was starting out.
I'm sure.
With those several restaurants that he got those Michelin stars in or whatever, with those restaurants, he probably came out to every table and he kissed ass like no one's business. But that's what you have to do. Then he got to a point where it was like, you know what? Fuck this. I can finally be myself. I have earned the right to be myself and let people know what I think.
Sure. Another example, to bring it back to art a little bit, is Pablo Picasso. Everybody loves his work, but apparently, if you met Pablo, not the nicest dude in the world. Especially to women.
Yeah, he was a misogynist. Definitely had an ego about him, but nowhere near the level of present-day Kanye West, who is what I would refer to as a megalomaniac. And to discern between the two, Kanye West, I was interested in his music when he was first starting.
Sure.
And then immediately when he began speaking his mind, I gave up all hope on him. Like, I do not give two shits about Kanye West anymore. I will not listen to any of his music because I think he's a fucking moron. Pablo Picasso, it's well documented how much of an asshole he was. He was, you know, somewhat of a misogynist. I mean, he kind of lived in the era when it was okay for artists to be so.
Right.
He had his hand in every single form of art you can think of. I don't know that he was ever involved in music or theater, but he did everything. I mean, he did it with wild abandon. Like, he didn't give two shits. So it was kind of called for him to be an anus.
I mean, I think sometimes when you have... I mean, I'm not defending misogyny at all or anything like that, but when you have that sort of, you know, the pressure that someone at that who's reached that status is under, mm-hmm. where you've got people expecting a certain level of work from you, and you have to deliver that work constantly. Like, you can never be off. Everything, it's on all the time. And you're going to become very cynical. I feel like when you have those pressures put on you, it becomes obnoxious, and that is going to alter your personality. Mm-hmm. I don't know this. I'm by no means famous and completely broke, but it doesn't, you know, I would feel like that level of attention and expectation of you would drive you to change how people perceive you, just to be like, just to hope that maybe you'll get a little bit of your own time back.
Yeah. Here's another distinction between today and the yesterday. This is the information age, so you have the internet. Anytime some celebrity or someone of cultural note does something out of character, it spreads across the world almost damn near instantaneously. I mean, thanks TMZ, but it goes so quickly. 100 years ago, it would be unimaginable for somebody to conceive that. For example, we were just talking about Kanye West. 120 or so years ago, Edgar Degas, the guy who's known for the painter who's known for painting all the ballerinas and stuff, his work overshadows his personality. A lot of people don't know this about him, but he was his work promoted like a warmth and appreciation for young people, for culture. It was very beautiful stuff.
He also hired hookers,
but
to throw it back to a previous episode.
He also hired hookers, but he was a massive anti-Semite, and he actually unabashedly took part in a trial against a guy that was falsely accused for treason. He was a guy of Jewish descent named Alfred Dreyfus. And yeah, like, nobody knows that. You wouldn't know that unless you read his Wikipedia page, and it's a footnote on there as well. Guy was a huge racist, but he did some of the most important works of our time.
Right.
Yeah.
What about...
And it's because, you know, word didn't travel as quickly. Sorry, go ahead.
So Van Gogh didn't get famous till he died.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyone know about, like, how his lifestyle was? Or, like, did the way he lived reflect why people didn't like him at the time? Was that maybe a problem for him? Or what was the issue? What made him not be famous?
I'm sure he was absolutely nuts.
Yeah. When you cut off your own ear.
I mean,
that's a rumor.
that could be, you know, he was, you know, the wrong place at the wrong time. He just happened to make really good work while he was there.
Yeah.
He
had friends that were contemporaries, but at the same time, I think he was viewed as an asshole. I can't remember why, though. Supposedly he had some sort of, I don't know, autism.
Either that or he's eating too much LSD or some crazy LSD-laced bread or something. Who knows, you know?
Eating some linen
got
mold.
Poison.
Yeah,
but he actually ate all of the plants that he ate, that he painted.
So with now, that being said, I guess the idea I want to propose is, like, take the big names out of it. You're at a gallery or you're at a show, it's just this dude that you know. And your friends are friends with that guy, so you end up going. And you don't, you know, the guy personally rubbed you the wrong way. You had a bad experience with that dude. So you're at a show, and his work, whether it be music, art, fucking TPS reports, whatever it is, if it's not, does that affect your perception of it, your opinion of it, and is that right?
Absolutely.
Because this dude put sugar in your gas tank.
Absolutely,
or
it affects my view of his work. Sometimes I wish it didn't, but that's just...
Is it right to allow that to... I mean...
Yes.
Personality-wise?
I think it's an important part of it. Yes, I think it is right. Because if he's putting something out there for people to basically enter into a communication with him...
Sure.
And he's creating something as a conduit for conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And communication with people. So... the way he interacts with the people around him, that's going to affect how I then view something that is an extension of him. So I do think that is part of it. Now, it doesn't mean that he needs to... if that's who he is, and that's what he wants his work to convey, then by all means, go for it. But if that's not what he wants his work to convey, and that's not really who he is, he's putting on some whatever, then, you know... And so now, in some cases... you know, we all have bad days.
Right.
And there is the chance that I bump into this person on a really shitty day. His dog got run over. His wife left him. His car wouldn't start.
Right.
Fucking asteroid fell out of the sky and ripped half of his house off. He just got a call that his insurance is dropping him. I mean, shit is going downhill. I bumped into him in the street and he just fucking knocks two teeth out of my head. Then, yeah, I go to his show and I'm like, oh, God, his work fucking sucks. And it actually could be decent work. I just caught him on a really bad day and I'm going to at times like that, then absolutely, I wish it didn't affect my view of his work. But
that's you alone, though.
Absolutely. That's the thing is,
so
that's going to be a personal interaction with his work. It could be that everyone else in that gallery has had great experiences with that person,
right,
and they're going to love his work, and they're going to buy it, and that's great. He's not going to get my money, but at least he's going to get everyone else's.
They call Tom Hanks, like, the nicest guy in Hollywood. But you know, for every 100 people that he meets, and they get whatever wish fulfillment out of that greeting, there's 2 people who, you know,
so
Mr. Hanks did not live up to their expectations.
Yeah.
And thus, it sours the experience. And those 2 people, that 2%, you know, may pass on Captain Phillips 2 back to Baghdad. They might, you know, pass on the next movie, and they might start spreading via Twitter, via
Yelp.
Person-to-person Yelp.
Tom Hanks sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
this belongs here.
So I guess
Hanks sucks because I got a flat tire going to see one of his movies.
So,
damn it, Tom Hanks.
Unless you're able to take your personality and make it part of your brand, your business, your persona, everything you're trying to push upon an audience, you know, you go up to Kanye West, you kind of expect to be treated poorly, you know, unfavorably. If you go up to Kanye West and just say, hey, I want an autograph, you kind of halfway expect him to kind of give you the finger and walk away.
Well, if you get that from Tom Hanks,
you're very, you know, kind of taken aback. So it's all part of, you know, you as a brand and you as an entity, whether it be, once again, visual artist, audio, just human fucking being.
I mean, you are selling yourself as a product.
Right. Yeah, if you're an artist and you're interested in money, you need to be a businessman.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, it is possible that you get to a point where your publicist or your whoever, your agent could sit there and go, listen, nothing's moving. So you need to make shit move. And the only way I can think for you to do that is go throw a phone at a bellhop. You know, do a porno. It'll work. Something. We need to leak something. Something needs to happen to get your name in the paper. And once that happens, I'm sorry, your reputation is shot, but your sales will go through the roof.
That's how it works. Yep. In a lot of instances, yeah.
But the thing is, you got to do it at the right time. Because if you do it too soon, you end up in jail and no one cares. If you do it at the right time, you get off with a slap on the wrist, a warning, and you got to pay a couple fines. But it's okay because your sales went through the roof. You got millions of dollars to roll in. You pay a lawyer and they get you off.
Yoko Ono, we're going to need you to say something stupid again.
Emphasize on the again.
You've been out of the public sphere for, looking at my watch, 2 years now. Go ahead and release some bullshit that you just pull right out of your ass after your morning brand, you know.
Thank you. And I feel like, honestly, like someone who I think does it really well, as far as soon as they start to dwindle in the public eye, they come right back, is Banksy. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you go like a month without hearing anything, that guy has hired someone to sit out in Central Park and sell his prints and then release the next day that they were actually originals and they were worth like $15,000 a piece.
Yeah, well, he absolutely knows the system. He knows how to control it. So that's, I mean, he's a wild card, I would say.
Speaking of wild cards, and one of the nicest dudes in the Raleigh-Durham music scene, we brought Mark here because, Mark, you have a demo coming out, yeah?
I do. I'm working on my debut album. I actually halfway released the debut single.
Are you going to punch a baby in the face so you can sell more?
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
So, I don't know. I heard you are up for an award.
Yes,
with this single.
I'm stoked. I'm actually nominated for a Carolina Music Award, Best Rock Male. So I just got the email week ago.
Yeah?
2 weeks ago.
Best Rock Male.
Best Rock Male. And this is the first time for me being solo artist. I was with the band for
better,
5 years.
Better than being the best male rock.
That's a very...
I can make that work, though. I can see what happens with that.
But so no, what's the name of the song that
the song that I've got halfway released as a moment? It's a song you can go on my Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and all that stuff. It's on SoundCloud for free download.
What's the address for one of those?
SoundCloud.com/MarkKluse. Go to that one.
How do you spell your last name?
Spell it. Mark with a K and Kloos, Clous. I know we were talking about that earlier. How everybody butchers my name, but. Yeah, that song's called Moment. I actually wrote it a couple of years ago talking about getting into the music business and really being driven by it and wanting to go for it. And kind of a song written to myself, really, of saying, like, go for it, just don't stop kind of thing. So that's what the song's all about. But it's a happy vibe. I tuck away the insecurities in the song with fun wordplay and all that stuff, but it's all there.
Tuck away the insecurities in the song. So that's some of the honesty that I like to hear from you.
Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to sample a little bit of Mark Kloos's song here, and I'm sure he would appreciate you guys listening and staying tuned. And if you like it, you know, jump on what website?
SoundCloud. You can go there, soundcloud.com, and you can just search my name, Mark Kloos. Clous.
And if you like it enough and you want to vote for Mark so that he can be the rock male of 2014.
You can go to my website, actually. It's a weird website. I'm hosting it for free. And markclousemusic.gweb.io. Go to that.
Yeah, we'll include a link. It's a real domain name is that? It's ridiculous.
That's a new one. Yeah.
That's free, baby.
All right, Mark, you want to introduce your song? Here we go.
Yeah, the song's called Moment. I hope you guys enjoy it. My name's Mark Clouse. Rock on.
Well, I've got shadows in my room, holding on to secrets I have shared. Well, I've got friends that think they're cool, but they will cross the line that you have dared. Life grows harder, nights grow longer, just to still we have it all. The time takes time for no one, but I will be there for you, I won't let you fall. Cause this is the moment, this is the last time, this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the realest thing, I've never felt like this before. Hey love, I'll be standing near you with an open heart, just keeping you in mind, cause that's the only part of me I wanna share with you tonight. Cause we're like this can grow. These old stories have been told, I've seen them in a photo once before. These old songs, they drive me wild when you start to sing them on the floor. Every hopeful heart seeks something that will change everything for them. Words will find a way to get their point across. Here it comes again. Cause this is the moment, this is the last time, this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the realest thing, I've never felt like this before. Hey love, I'll be standing near you with an open heart, just keeping you in mind, cause that's the only part of me I wanna share with you. Amazing how we ever knew everything we wanted to.
Stuff, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was
thank
the wrong song. No, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, Mark, we like to end every episode with a sign-off. We say, time travel's a bitch. It's a thing that we say so that people don't live too much in the future and they don't live too much in the past, but they focus on the present. So, could you do us the honor and send us out?
Time travel's a bitch. Is that what it was?
Yeah. The next one will be better.
It